Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Mark
talk about songs.
We certainly do. We even talk about them when we're off mic, and you're probably lucky you don't know what we were just talking about. I am your co-host, Mark Blankenship, and joining me today is the spectacular supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
Oh my gosh. Hello. That's a lot of adjective. We don't have a lot of time. Actually, we have as much time as we want.
There's no time.
I don't know how much time we're really going to need today.
We're continuing apace with our Weird Al versus Everyone season. And today, Sarah, who has joined the fray alongside Mr. Yankovic?
Let's get ready to rumble. It is Eye of the Tiger by Survivor versus Weird Al's parody, Rye or the Kaiser. I think Eye of the Tiger was 1982.
Correct. Yes,
and
you're correct.
And then Rye or the Kaiser is, I want to say that it's later because I feel like it's actually in conversation with King of Suede. We can get into that later in the episode. But I believe it's from the Weird Al in 3D album. So
it is, yes.
Slightly after 82, 84, I guess that was 83, 84.
Yes, that album was released in February of 84.
Okay. You'd think that I would have these facts cold in our 19th episode of this season, but I don't. I do have this fact to share about the Survivor song, and it is this. I discovered in my research before this episode that apparently, and I feel like I knew this and I just forgot about it, or it's one of those things everyone knows about a song that you just, it just retreats into like lizard brain and you forget that you had the information already. But Eye of the Tiger is, of course, the theme song for Rocky III. And Sylvester Stallone asked Queen if he could use Another One Bites the Dust as the sort of great training montage song. Queen was like, nah, so he commissioned Eye of the Tiger from Survivor, and what a happy accident that was. The break in the bone really did heal stronger, I think. Nature knows what it wants. Shall we hear a clip of this all-time, like, woodcut in the dictionary platonic cave of training montage songs, or do you have some facts that you'd like to share first?
The thing to know, it's not going to be a surprise to anyone who's been listening to music at all since 1982. This song was very much a number one hit. It is certainly Survivor's signature tune. It is their biggest hit on the charts. And interestingly, it is not the only hit that they ever had from a Rocky film.
No, it sure isn't.
Which I just think is, everybody just decided, sure, we're going to try to go back to the well a few years later, and we're going to record a song for Rocky IV, which was Burning Heart, which is fine. That is a perfectly cromulent song. But when you're following up Eye of the Tiger, everything is going to be a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Burning Heart did reach number two, but obviously Eye of the Tiger reached number one and is the reason that we still know the name Survivor to this day. I feel like you would be hard-pressed to find anyone, really, who could name all of their other top hits or sing snippets of them to you, but Eye of the Tiger is a timeless one.
Burning Heart kind of is a number two in the sense of being poopy. Maybe I just think that because I have, of the Rocky movies, I have seen Rocky IV far and away the most times, because that's the one HBO had the rights to whatever summer I was like sitting around watching it in the air conditioning. It is, when you listen to it now, maybe we should have a whole season about these like follow-up hits. But as I'm saying it, I feel like I would get depressed. by our going through that process, because Burning Heart is just steeped in the tragedy of not being able to regain your past singular glory.
Yes.
So in addition to being an pop song, it is just suffused with the acrid sweat of desperation. And I'm just not sure that we want to marinate in that acridity for a whole season.
Because instead of
clocking the Grammys for making many, many mistakes like we're going to do next season. But anyway.
The thing is, that is true. You really could easily fill a long season with lesser follow-up hits.
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. I do want to say, one of the things that I learned in my research is that Jim Peterik, who was a former member of Survivor and who co-wrote this song, this is a line that is written, honest to God, on his Wikipedia page.
Oh, no.
On May 5th, 2019, Peterik appeared on MeTV's Collector's Call with Lisa Welchel, showing off part of his collection of 193 guitars. That's Lisa Welchel, who played Blair on The Facts of Life, showing off part of his collection of 193 guitars. And I just think, you know what? The world takes us in all kinds of places, in all kinds of directions.
It does. And as long as that collection has been lucrative emotionally and financially for him, who are we to judge? I mean, literally, that's what we do here, but we try to be positive about it.
Yeah. And you know what? God bless, because Survivor is also one of those bands, there are so many now, where only one person who tours under the name Survivor was in Survivor when people cared about Survivor.
The rest of them are just in court all the fucking time.
Yeah. Like one time, the way that you put it one time, I think this was in our Record of the Year season, you were like, "Mom, I want to be Queensryche."
But no, seriously, who were we talking about? There was just like a RollingStone.com update about some band that was like... And I think it was actually Live, maybe.
Yeah.
And like the right to play Live.
Yes, it was Live.
They're just literally like rolling around, banging each other's heads on the ground in court. And the judge is like, guys, no one cares.
Like, you wrote a song that has a line about my placenta falling to the floor. You know,
yeah.
everybody's under arrest.
That has always bugged me too. Like, where else would it fall? Down between the couch cushions, buddy.
For whatever reason, I just thought into the pocket of my apron, and I don't know why. Her placenta falls in my apron. Oh,
yeah, I can't get it to scan. How about the floor? Great, let's move on.
Great. You know what? We'll throw some money at the video. Because I am an enormous nerd, I went through a lengthy period recently where I was rereading old issues of Billboard magazine because they're all available online as PDFs. And there was this story when Live released that album that has Lightning Crashes on it about how radio programmers at alt rock radio hated them. And then they basically just had to capitulate because people kept buying the album and they were like, ugh. Fine. So essentially, Billboard, which is typically a booster for everything, was saying, nobody likes Live in the industry, but we're going to give you what you fucking want, which I have just, it amuses me.
It was Live. And here is the headline from Rolling Stone from February of 2023. Lightning Crashes, how an alleged con man tore apart one of the 90s biggest bands. Live had some of the alt-rock era's hugest hits, but in recent years, the former bandmates have been bitterly divided by legal drama and interpersonal conflict.
No, not Live!
Oh, God. Why? And meanwhile, Survivor's like, we all like each other and it's fine. One guy died. It wasn't a big deal, though we were sad. Maybe we should play a clip before this turns into the Live season. No one wants
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay, so without further ado, here is a clip from Eye of the Tiger.
I mean, it's such a banger. It's such a banger.
And I do want to note that the vocalist on this is Dave Bickler, who was only in Survivor for one more year after this song came out. But as far as I'm concerned, he is the voice of this band forever.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, Sarah. I will. This is one of those songs that apparently I never get sick of. It's so good, always.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're listening to it for our purposes to sort of, you know, explicate it for the dialectic, blah, blah, whatever, you do recognize that it is not, like, the build of it is not perfect. Like, if you had it to do again, you might do a couple of things differently, but you shouldn't, because then you would lose that magic alchemy that makes it what it is. But, like,
yes,
maybe it's a little too long, and maybe it's a little too, like, after that sort of towering bridge, then it kind of has nowhere to go, and it's just a guy yelling about the Eye of the Tiger, and the Eye of the Tiger sort of makes no sense, and it's been in the culture so long also that the parodying of it by itself has sort of taken over. I don't know how to put it. It just puts me in mind of, like, how they say that memories are made and stored in the brain, and how something that you tell yourself you remember can become as real as the thing itself. And the experience of listening to this song to analyze it is sort of like that, I think. That it's like, am I responding to the song, or am I responding to decades of responding to the song? In the end, it doesn't really matter. It is a classic of its time. It sounds its age, but I was going to say it doesn't sound dated. It kind of does, but it doesn't matter. But it's so good, and it is built, the purpose for which it was built is something that, like, Gen X kids like us will respond to it viscerally, because it's like, this is a montage on the way to triumph.
Well, and I will say this about its sounding of its era. This is the image of the 80s that we want.
Yes.
Where you've got swagger and power. And then if you hear, like, Ebony and Ivory, which also sounds of its era, that's not the image of the 80s we want anymore.
No.
The maudlin, sappy self-regard. We want ass-kicking self-regard. If we work from the basic premise that the 80s are remembered mostly as the me decade, right? The everything I do is amazing decade. This is the sound that I want to help me remember why that was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That it's before, I think Reagan's first term was sort of like cluelessly self-absorbed and cocaine driven by bad decisions, but then accidentally some cool shit happened. And then Reagan's second term, it's like the culture was much more self-aware. Like, I think it had already been dubbed the me decade by, like, 1983 or something like that. So by 1987, right, when you have something like Burning Heart, where it's like, well, that actually sounds like myocarditis and you should go talk to somebody and have some tests. If that sounds like an aneurysm, and maybe ease up on the Colombian marching powder. But, like, before the sort of organism that was the 80s became self-aware, there was this, and afterwards there was, like, Bret Easton Ellis.
Yeah, that's exactly right. This is the sound of the 80s before postmodernism and irony took over the decade,
right? But then nothing functionally nothing changed after that. It just was like, Yeah, I don't know. But it's like, well, now we understand that there is a sort of self-absorbed soullessness to things that we do a lot of the time, but we're not going to change how we do anything.
We're just going to actually lean into it and make Poison's hairspray and makeup look the thing. Yeah,
right.
We're just going to like push further and further and further.
Every rose does have its thorn, but that doesn't mean that we're going to stop grabbing roses by the stem. We're just going to sing about it sadly with perms.
I guess another way of putting it is that at the time, obviously, you had someone like David Bowie who was already doing this, or Klaus Nomi, but we didn't know who was going to win. And then the irony won. And then the Scream franchise came. Anyway, so last thing I will say about Rockin' a Hard Place. What am I even saying? The last thing I will say about Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III is it was nominated, Sarah, for an Oscar for Best Original Song, but it lost to a song that you and I have shat on before on this podcast, which is Up Where We Belong from An Officer and a Gentleman.
Up Your Butt? Is that where we belong?
Yep.
Oh my God. Every time that song is even mentioned, I'm just like, how did we live? How did we survive? Why?
And also, you just look at this and you think, wow, Oscars getting it wrong for time immemorial. Mm-hmm. Because Eye of the Tiger just is a better song than Up Where We Belong. I just don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, in sports, there's like occasionally refs will give you basically a payback call for like fucking up another one. That it's like a, you know, this is a makeup call or a makeup whistle, as they say in college hoops. And it's like, oh, they missed that last one. So they're giving, like, they're doing it the other way with this bullshit one. It's like they regretted giving Rocky One anything and creating the monster that was Sly Stallone's, you know, Rambo Rocky hegemony. So like, well, this song is better, but fuck you. Let's give Richard Gere a chance. Like, why?
Yeah. We can't encourage Sylvester Stallone anymore.
I know. God.
Okay, so that, however, is a nice segue, because Raya or the Kaiser is actually called, in some circles, theme from Rocky 13,
mm-hmm.
parentheses, Raya or the Kaiser. And Sarah, I will tell you, I did not know that when I started the journey of listening to and thinking about this song. So I judged a book by its cover. I judged a parody song by its title. And I thought, oh my God, it's just going to be some stupid song about what kind of roll do you want your sandwich on? But actually, Rye or the Kaiser is told from the perspective of Rocky having gotten old and broken down and just opening up a shitty deli because he's way past his prime, which is actually kind of what the plot of the Creed movies is, but mm-hmm. neither here nor there. And I have to say, I wasn't giving the song enough credit, and therefore I was impressed by it, because Al gets a lot of good jokes about the Rocky franchise into this song, but also manages to tell a story. And to me, it was an example of what he wasn't doing in that Beverly Hillbillies parody we talked about recently, where he doesn't really do anything except explain the plot. Or the Yabba Dabba Doo, the Flintstones Red Hot Chili Peppers song mm-hmm. that we talked about, Bedrock Anthem. Those are just pretty straightforward recountings of the things we already know. Here, he takes Rocky, the character, and moves him forward through the sound of one of the Rocky anthems, and I thought that was actually much more successful and clever than I was expecting.
It was more successful and clever than I was expecting too. I had to have heard this song before, but I had no memory of it, and I think that my appreciation of it was deepened by our quite appreciative conversation about King of Suede and King of Pain.
Yes.
Because this has a very similar vibe, like he's like, let me be your catering advisor, which is like very clever scansion, but also there is a flat, you know, these are the dark days, you know, vanishing into the horizon forever for Rocky post the events of the movies in Al's timeline when he wrote the song. And right. that he's just sort of repeating like, oh, yeah, we made this fresh today. And then in the last verse, he talks about like using a giant thing of liverwurst as a heavy bag. And there is definitely like suburban tragedy there that probably completely unintentionally, but still pleasingly to me, was in conversation with that other song about selling suits in the mall, that they're like at, you know, they're anchoring a mini mall somewhere depressedly.
Well, and you know, that's a really interesting point, because that means that in King of Suede, on that side of the mall, you've got a guy who never had glory and so has had to find glory in the thing he dropped out of school to learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
Down the mini mall sidewalk, you've got Rocky, who had incredible glory and has now landed in the very same place and it used to train by hitting big sides of meat and now just pound some liverwurst.
Mm-hmm.
And just the different ways that one can come to terms with one's own, let's say, mid-watt light bulb is, it's really pretty interesting. These songs really do go together very well.
Yeah, and you kind of want, much as I keep putting Al and the artists that he's satirizing in fanfic together while eating gas station snack food, the characters from these two songs, I'm imagining after hours, like... the King of Suede narrator is letting out the waistline on Rocky's pants yet again, and then being paid in pastrami for his tailoring efforts. And then they just sit there in companionable, bleak silence, contemplating better days.
Honestly, do I smell an Oscar-nominated short film in our future?
Weird Al's like, y'all are overthinking this, even for you. Go back to talking about Live. That made a lot more sense.
Because then Sylvester Stallone is looking up at the rack going, is that my size up there?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay, so before we go any further, let's hear a clip from Rye or the Kaiser.
Fat and weak. What a disgrace. Guess the champ got too lazy. Ain't gonna fly now, he's just taking up space. Sold his gloves, threw his eggs down the drain. But he's no bum, he works down the street. He bought the neighborhood deli. Back on his feet, now he's chopping up.
I kept that clip because Ain't Gonna Fly is the chart-topping theme to Rocky I by Bill Conti, and I thought it was nice that he referenced
that. Yes, I agree. The thrill of the bite, your catering advisor. This does not have any fart noises in it, and it does seem like an oversight.
When you're talking about this much processed meat, you do leave yourself open for justifiable use of a fart sound. You're right.
Yeah, I agree.
Where can we direct an angry tweet about the lack of fart noises in Rye or the Kaiser?
Oh God. Well, I'm interested hear what everyone's votes looked like and what the margins were.
Yes. So if in case you're new to this here show, if you are a Patreon patron, you are able to vote on the polls in our episodes. And in this particular season, you were also able to hear the entire season. We're releasing two episodes a week, but only one is going out to people who are not our patrons. Patrons get both episodes per week. So we would love to have you join us at patreon.com/mastis. And I will let you know that this week, Sarah, Eye of the Tiger trounced Rye or the Kaiser as far as the patrons were concerned. It was almost four times the number of votes for Survivor over Weird Al on this one.
Yeah, that's not surprising. This is closer than I thought it would be, but I voted for Survivor. I just, you know, it's an all-timer. It exemplifies the sort of subgenre of soundtrack cut that it is. It's 80s Al, so it sounds a little bit cheaper and not necessarily in a, you know, he's always trying to make it like sound a little bit distinct so that you know that you're listening to a parody. So sometimes when it sounds a little bit cheaper and thrown together, that's part of the point of it. But in this case, I feel like what makes the original so good is that like sort of density and I hate this word, but propulsive guitar that Al can't quite get at. Now, is that kind of part of the like the content lyrically of the parody, that it's like this version isn't as good as the Champions version?
Maybe. Interesting. Meta.
But it's still not as good as the Champions version. So my vote here was for Survivor, as I assume yours was as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. The fact that I liked Ryer the Kaiser more than I thought I would doesn't mean I like it as much as or more than Eye of the Tiger. So it's a clear victory for the original across the board here.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But still, I will say, much respect to Weird Al for doing more with the concept than I thought he was going to do when I first entered the experience.
Yeah, and that's been a pretty consistent theme along this season, that even when a parody doesn't get my vote, sometimes it's like, I think it'll be a landslide, and it's actually pretty close, or closer.
Yeah.
Even if it's not close. So
exactly right. Well, okay, patrons, thank you so much for voting. Sarah, so thank you so much for opinionating. gentlemen from Live, thank you so much for fighting in court. And we will look forward to seeing you later this week with our next matchup, which is Don McLean's American Pie and Weird Al's Star Wars themed parody, The Saga Begins.
Yeah. And if you start listening to American Pie now, you might be done by the time we drop that episode on Thursday. But if you are not on our Patreon page, you won't be able to hear it at all. So patreon.com/mastess to get this whole season at any level of support. We appreciate it. And you. And Al and Rocky.
Et Al.
Et Al. Oh, how thank did we you. Not make that joke yet?
Very how nice. Did, thank you. I'm here all week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.